Well, yeah, I guess it's been a while since I've been in front of the camera here, but so for those following on the internet, we have been going through our trip to Israel during worship time the last several weeks, and we're going to continue that today. We're actually only up to day 7, I think, but so that's going to take obviously a few more weeks before we resume our Red Letter series. I'm not going to have a regular message today because we're going to continue the trip review, but before I do that, before we get into that, I wanted to share something with everyone that a client, actually a colleague of mine, sent me last week. I got it right after services last week, and I think you'll see how it kind of dovetails in to what I shared with everyone last week about overcoming. It's actually, you know, pretty powerful, and I think it's worth our time. I'm going to try and shorten it down because obviously we want to get to our trip review. But Chris Speary writes this. He says, in Nashville, Tennessee, during the first week of January 1996, more than 4,000 baseball coaches descended upon the Opryland Hotel for the 52nd annual ABCA convention. 19 times since, many of the same professional, college, high school, youth, and a slew of international coaches from passionate and developing baseball nations have gathered at various convention hotels across the country for 2.5 days of clinic presentations and industry exhibits. Let's skip down here a little bit. He says, I have attended all but 3 conventions in those 19 years, and I have enjoyed and benefited from each of them. But 96 was special, not just because it was held in the home of country music, a town I'd always wanted to visit, and not because I was attending my very first convention. Nashville in 96 was special because it was there and then that I learned that baseball, the thing that had brought 4,000 of us together, was merely a metaphor for my own life and those of the players I hope to impact. While I waited in line to register with the hotel staff, I heard other more veteran coaches rumbling about the lineup of speakers scheduled to present during the weekend. One name in particular kept resurfacing, always with the same sentiment. John Scalinas is here? Oh man, that's worth every penny of my airfare. Who the heck is John Scalinas, I wondered. No matter, I was just happy to be there. So I'm gonna skip through his review of the first day of the conference. Then he continues, I woke early the next morning, and once again in the massive convention hall, reviewing my notes from the day before, pitching mechanics, hitting philosophy, team practice drills, all technical and typical, important stuff for a young coach, and I was in heaven. Then I found the clinic schedule in my bag. 1 p.m., John Scalinas, Cal Poly, Pomona. It was the man whose name I had heard buzzing around the lobby 2 days earlier. Could he be the reason that all 4,000 coaches had returned for the afternoon session, that all got back early to the convention hall? Wow, I thought this guy must really be good. I had no idea. In 1996, Coach Scalinas was 78 years old and 5 years retired from a college coaching career that began in 1948. He shuffled to the stage to an impressive standing ovation, wearing dark polyester pants, a light blue shirt, and a string around his neck which hung home plate. A full-sized, stark white home plate. Seriously, I wondered, who in the heck is this guy? After speaking for 25 minutes, not once mentioning the prop hanging around his neck, Coach Scalinas appeared to notice the snickering among some of the coaches. Even those who knew Coach Scalinas had to wonder exactly where is he going with this, or if he had simply forgotten about the home plate that was hanging around his neck since taking the stage. And then finally, he said this, "You're probably all wondering why I'm wearing home plate around my neck. Or maybe that you think I escaped from Camarillo State Hospital," he said, his voice growing irascible. I laughed along with the others, acknowledging the possibility. "No," he continued, "I may be old, but I'm not crazy. The reason I stand before you today is to share with you baseball people what I've learned in my life, what I've learned about home plate in my 78 years. Several hands went up when Scalinas asked, "How many Little League coaches were in the room? Do you know how wide home plate is in Little League?" After a pause, someone offered, "17 inches?" More of a question than an answer. "That's right," he said. "How about in Babe Ruth? Any Babe Ruth coaches in the house?" Another long pause. 17 inches?" came a guess from another reluctant coach. "That's right," said Scalinas. "And how many high school coaches do we have in the room?" Hundreds of hands shot up as the pattern began to appear. "How wide is home plate in high school baseball?" 17 inches," they said, sounding more confident. "You're right," Scalinas barked. "And you college coaches, how wide is home plate in college?" 17 inches," they all said in unison. "Any minor league coaches here, how wide is home plate in pro ball?" 17 inches. "Right. And in the major leagues, how wide is home plate in the major leagues?" 17 inches," shouted the crowd. 17 inches," he proclaimed, his voice bellowing off the walls. "And what do they do with a big league pitcher who can't throw the ball over 17 inches? Pause. "They send him to Pocatello," he hollered, drawing raucous laughter. "What they don't do, though, is this. They don't say, 'Oh, that's okay, Jimmy. You can't hit a 17-inch target. Well, we'll make it 18 inches. Or 19 inches. We'll make it 20 inches so that you can have a better chance of hitting it. If you can't hit that, just let us know. We can make it wider still. Say 25 inches. And he paused and he said, "Coaches?" He said, "What do we do when our best player shows up late to practice? When our team rules forbid facial hair and a guy shows up unshaven? What if he gets caught drinking? Do we hold him accountable? Or do we change the rules to fit him? Do we widen home plate?" The chuckles gradually faded as 4,000 coaches grew quiet, the fog lifting as the old coach's message began to unfold. He turned the plate towards himself, and using a Sharpie, he began to draw something. And when he turned it toward the crowd, point up, a house was revealed, complete with freshly drawn door and two windows. He said, "This is the problem in our homes today, with our marriages, with the way we parent our kids, with our discipline. We don't teach accountability to our kids, and there is no consequence for failing to meet the standards. We widen the plate." Then, to the point at the top of the house, he added a small American flag, and he said, "This is the problem in our schools today. The quality of our education is going downhill fast. Our teachers have been stripped of the tools they need to be successful and to educate and discipline our young children. We are allowing others to widen the plate. Where is that getting us?" he said. Silence in the room. He replaced the flag then with a cross, and he said, "And this is the problem in the church. where powerful people in positions of authority have taken advantage of young people, for example, only to have such an atrocity swept under the rug for years. Our church leaders are widening the plate. I was amazed. At a baseball convention where I expected to learn something about curveballs and bunting and how to run better practices, I had learned something far more valuable. From an old man with home plates strung around his neck, I had learned something about life, about myself, about my own weaknesses and my responsibilities as a leader. I had to hold myself and others accountable to that which I knew to be right, lest our families, our faith, and our society continue down an undesirable path. If I am lucky, Coach Scalinas concluded, you will remember one thing from this old coach today, and it is this. If we fail to hold ourselves to a higher standard, a standard of what we know to be right, if we fail to hold our spouses and our children to the same standards, if we are unwilling or unable to provide a consequence when they do not meet the standard, and if our schools and our churches and our government fail to hold themselves accountable to those they serve, there is but one thing to look forward to. And with that, he held home plate in front of his chest, turned it around, and revealed its dark backside. And he said, "Dark days ahead." Coach Scalinos died in 2009 at the age of 91, but not before touching the lives of hundreds of players and coaches, including mine. Meeting him at my first ABCA convention kept me returning year after year, looking for similar wisdom and inspiration from other coaches. He is the best clinic speaker the ABCA has ever known because he was so much more than a baseball coach, and his message was clear. Coaches, keep your players, no matter how good they are, and your own children, and most of all, yourself, at 17 inches. He was indeed worth the airfare. Now that's some wisdom, and it's some perspective, isn't it? You see, regardless of our vocation, of his vocation, he shared a valuable lesson. I'm not sure how he defines what those standards are that fit within that 17 inches, but I do know that God does. And he has made it clear what that 17 inches look like. And he put them on tablets of stone. And it's the same standard for all. Whether it's Little League, whether it's, you know, Babe Ruth level, or the minors, the pros, high school, college, doesn't matter. It's the same standard. And it's been the same standard from the Garden of Eden clear to the liberal society that we see today. It does not change. And it's not to be widened. As I said earlier, I got this last week after we had this little discussion about overcoming and being overcomers. We saw some scriptures in the Word that clearly show that we are to overcome evil and this world and the danger in being overcome by Satan and this world. Any of you that have been around any time at all know we don't shy away from the law and from our personal responsibility in observing it as the standard that God revealed to us, that he expects us to live by. That message is, of course, always balanced with the fact that God also has provided his Spirit in which we can have the power to do that, to live by that standard. And indeed, keeping of the law does not save us, but it is truly our response to the saving work of Christ. So we also don't shy away from the concept of repentance, from turning from the evil, the weak and fluid standards of this world to the righteous and wonderful standards of God that he has graciously revealed to us. The law is indeed an expression of his love and his grace, And it is that expression to us that reveals to us how to live, and it's part of grace. It's part of His love. And the idea here is that we need to be a team of overcomers. Because it's in that context that we even gather together, that we form these bonds that we have with one another within this group, that we can help one another, support one another, encourage one another to walk out what God has so graciously revealed to us and hold one another accountable. We see the opposite all around us, don't we? In our current society, we're constantly being barraged with the message by the left to be tolerant, asking us continually to widen the plate, to accommodate what we're seeing now is unthinkable, the wildest of pitches, if you look at it that way. Any suggestion that someone is misbehaving is viewed as intolerant to their personal beliefs. Generally recognized common sense standards of even decency and behavior that we had just two generations ago are being lost right before our eyes. I mean, our nation now is arguing about what bathroom to use. Why? Because as a society, we are throwing away home plate. There's no absolutes. The boundaries just keep moving, fluid to whatever someone decides it should be for them. The world, and even within the church, is feasting on the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And just as God said it would, if you do that, you will die. And that behavior, what we are seeing, is killing us. See, there are standards. And we don't set them. Right? We don't set the standard. God does. And those standards are for our own good. They reflect His love and they are given as part of His grace. Now, wouldn't it be ironic? I thought about this. What if the Ten Commandments, what if those tablets of stone turned out to be 17 inches wide? I don't know. It's a long shot maybe. But whether they are or not, we can use it as a metaphor. To hold each other accountable, to remind each other, and to remind ourselves, don't widen the plate. We are to overcome the world. We are to overcome sin. We aren't to widen the plate to accommodate it. You see? Stay within the 17 inches. Our Father has provided us home plate. The Greek word for sin, you know, literally means to miss the mark. When that pitcher throws the ball and it goes outside the 17 inches, he's missed the mark. So if the law is the plate, then you need to pitch your game. You need to pitch your life over the plate. And when you miss the mark, don't try to justify it and widen the plate. I'll take the metaphor a little further and think of Christ as the catcher. And He catches those wide balls, doesn't He? And what's He do? He throws them back to us and says, try again. I got you covered. It didn't get away. I got you covered. Here you go. Repent. Repent and try again. And get it over the plate this time. That is God's love being expressed back to us. That's the grace in saying, throwing it back and trying again. But the plate is still there. Not a jot or a tittle passed from it. Now pitch over the plate. Because the revelation of the plate. You can't hit the mark unless you know where the mark is. And in God's love, in His grace, He's saying, Here's the plate. Here's the way. Walk ye in it. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. He says it all sorts of different ways. So we just have to change. We have to change our aim. And so we need to encourage each other to not miss the mark. Keep it in 17 inches. Don't widen the plate. And keep on pitching. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Now let's pick up where we left off last week and look at day 7 of our trip.